Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. It is the Buckmaster Show for a Tuesday, the 7th of May, 2013. We're live each weekday right here on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We hope it will become one of your noon hour appointments with us. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we podcast to buckmastershow.com, TucsonSentinel.com, and TucsonCitizen.com, all carrying our program. Up first today, a conversation with Terry Bracey. Mr. Bracey, the Buckmaster Show contributor on Washington and governmental affairs. Terry will join us on the live line from the nation's capital. 20 minutes past the hour, if his smile was any bigger, we would have to bring in a moving van for it. Certified financial planner Shelley Fishman with us. You know what happens, Buckmaster Show listeners, when Shelley has a big smile. It means the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Things are on, let's put it this way, the arrow is going up. 30 minutes past the hour, we're going to spend a half an hour, take a deep dive into our area roads with Jim DeGruy. Jim is with the Regional Transportation Authority. It's the RTA, and believe it or not, it has been 7 years already since the RTA was approved by voters back in 2006. Questions or comments, always welcome here on the program. 790-2040, 790-2040 on the live line. And we also monitor the Buckmaster Show Facebook page during the show, and that is Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Well, Americans are truly perplexed about Congress and its apparent inaction on key issues facing the country. And what has brought us to this policy standstill? That's the question that we will be exploring with Terry Bracey. Terry's one of more than two dozen folks who contribute to this program on a regular basis. In his 40-plus year Washington, D.C. career, Terry has been asked by three presidents of both parties to serve in appointed positions, most recently as the founding chair of the Tucson-based Udall Foundation. Terry began as an aide to Mo Udall, went on to high-level positions in three presidential campaigns, and a three-year stint as Assistant Secretary of Transportation. Terry is a senior partner in Bracey, Tucker, Brown, Valenzano, and he has represented that firm, the city of Tucson, for three decades. Terry, how are you today?
Just doing great, Bill.
Time to play some baseball back in the nation's capital.
Well, they're raining again on us today. We have had the wettest spring in history, and our baseball team is only doing fair. We have great hopes, though.
Well, it's more hopes than we have right now for our Congress, Terry Bracey. What's the deal? Why are we having all this congressional inaction?
Well, Bill, if you dig down deeply, there are two fundamental reasons why congressional action on major policy decisions has become more and more difficult. They lie in the way we elect our representatives and also in the way the bodies use their procedures. You know, the House was framed by the founders to be a very efficient legislative body. The framers made the House the voice of the people, elected every 2 years, designed to deal with urgent and emerging problems. And its rules are designed to favor action over inaction. For example, the House has a rules committee which gives each piece of legislation a certain time for debate. And during that debate, it operates under strict rules known as germaneness, which means that irrelevant amendments that don't apply can't even be considered. Therefore, if the majority is determined to pass controversial bills, as was, say, the Tea Party Congress, it can run them through in rapid succession. And the problem is that the House has become too partisan, and the majority party in the House, now the Republicans, has rarely shown any inclination to compromise. When their bills travel across the Capitol to the Senate, they hit a brick wall.
So this efficient legislative body, the House, becoming more partisan, and does that go back, Terry Bracey, to our electoral system?
Well, it does, and basically the biggest problem we have, although the congressional historians focus on the role of money, an even bigger problem is what we call gerrymandering. Every 10 years, Bill, a census is taken, and 435 new House districts are drawn up according to population. This is done mostly by state legislators who frequently shape the electoral maps of their states to favor whomever's in power. This applies equally to Democrats and Republicans. Safe districts produce safe congressmen who don't have to compromise except with members of their own parties. So incumbents in the House, except in the case of a few competitive districts, they worry only now about being challenged in their own primary elections. So this partisanship is carried from the state capitals to Washington and the Congress, and the Republicans, who are now in control, and according to the census experts, are likely to be in control of the House for a decade, they worry only about what's called being primaried, a new verb. That means they get a primary election from the right, and the Democrats worry about getting a primary election from the left, and nobody worries about all of us who sit in the middle.
Are those electoral system problems the same for the Senate, or we have different issues there?
Well, the Senate has some of the same problems. The cost of high office has gotten out of hand, and members of both the House and Senate are forced to spend way too much time raising money. But Senate elections are statewide and therefore not subject to the partisanship that results from gerrymandering. The Senate was designed by the founders to cool off the passions of the House and to slow down legislation so that it would be carefully considered. But it was not designed by the founders to be the burial ground for new ideas and social remedies. And that has happened largely because of the rules of the Senate, which over time have increasingly made it possible for a single senator or a very small group of them to bring the body to a halt.
And now you're talking about filibuster, the filibuster rule, which most of us have heard about.
Well, yeah, that's the most famous of the Senate rules, but only part of the story. There's a Senate tradition called holds, H-O-L-D-S. This allows any single member of the Senate to anonymously register concern with his or her leader about an appointment or a bill and just slow its progress that way. So, for example, many of President Obama's chosen appointees to run the executive branch agencies and who require Senate confirmation, they languish because a single senator secretly objects. And the procedures of the Senate are such that the activity of the body is frozen in place until that hold is lifted, often in exchange for a policy concession by the president.
Before we talk about what should be done about this, and I know there is talk of reform, Terry, let's take a caller who would like to, who actually believes, I believe, he's saying gridlock is not such a bad thing. Caller Charles to the program. Go ahead, Charles. We're Terry Bracey.
Terry, thank you for your literate and complete answers to Bill's questions. It really informed the audience. My question is, based on what the founder said, I believe it was Jay who referred to government's propensity to folly. I tend to view gridlock as an utterly positive thing because of government's propensity to folly. And furthermore, the Senate was designed to be deliberative, but a lot of that was wrecked by the 17th of just a wrecking ball driven through it by the 17th Amendment. Could you comment on both of those, and I'll listen on the air?
Well, thank you for your comment, your question. Of course, the 17th Amendment, well, I have a different view of that. Originally, the senators were appointed by state legislatures. And what, in effect, had happened, as you know, is that many of the senators of that era were on the payroll of the railroads and many of the interests that were running the country at the time. They were not elected. The 17th Amendment changed all that and made them popularly elected, which did change the nature of the Senate, but its rules tended to reform it back to what it was before. Gridlock can be a good thing if society is completely puzzled about what it wants to do on social issues. But let's take the recent vote on the gun law. And basically what 90% of the people in the country said, we're not all in favor of a lot of control of guns, but we would like background checks. But the Senate couldn't get it done. A few senators made the difference. We needed 60 votes, not a majority. We got a majority of the Senate in favor of it, but we needed 60 votes to get it through. So there's an example where the other side would come into play. But you're right. Sometimes it takes society time to work out answers to questions. And gridlock during that period of time is okay.
So, Terry, getting back to reform of the way we really elect people and reforming the rules in the Senate and the House, any progress in that area? I guess it would mainly be focused on the Senate. Is that where the reform would come?
Well, there is a strong and growing movement in the Senate for reform of the rules. And surprisingly, you're seeing more and more senior senators, like Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa, get involved in this. They've become frustrated over time, even though it is a body which heavily favors seniority. And then you see the first-term senators, led by Senator Tom Udall of New Mexico, they are getting involved. So you're starting to see minor changes in Senate rules, but the basic rule that has to be challenged is the rule which allows, which forces there to be a supermajority, 60 votes, to even bring up a matter for debate. It's one thing to require a 60-vote majority for the passage of certain kinds of legislation. I don't think anybody finds much of a problem with that in terms of the Senate's role. But what has happened is we now have to have 60 votes to even bring something up for debate. And I think you're going to see that rule go.
Terry Bracey, always a pleasure talking with you. You give us very thoughtful answers, and we appreciate it. Terry, I hope you have a great day. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Terry Bracey with us on the Buckmaster Show. Another very thoughtful thinking man in the arena of financial affairs and many other things as well. Shelley Fishman, he'll be up next with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report as we continue with the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Please stay with us.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Road. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polifchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine tax investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Here he is, Shelley Fishman, with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley, he is the guy that I trust, and I like to call myself Tucson's most trusted voice, trusted newsman, and I would say Shelley is the guy we call Tucson's most trusted financial advisor.
Thank you, Bill. How are you today?
Doing real well, and nice piece in the paper on Sunday in the business section. You were quoted, Angela Pittinger?
I guess,
not
Pittinger.
Not quite sure how Angela pronounces her last name, from the Arizona Daily Star, but the question was about gift cards. Lots of young people receive them from relatives for graduation, and Angela was wondering, getting some of your advice about where should that money go?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, of course, now that we're right around graduation time, it's probably even timely. There are, of course, individual answers to all of these questions. And so my recorded announcement, let me hit the start button, is no one answer is going to be applicable to everybody. But if you get a substantial amount of money from relatives, friends, or whatever on your graduation, the question is, well, what should you do with it? And the first choice, from my perspective, was go out and have a party. But once I stifled that answer, I decided, look.
Our producer, Rosemary, is shaking her head. She likes
absolutely
that idea,
party.
Taking
party
the
big
money
time.
And having a party, right?
No. Right, right. But with the money that's left over from the party, the first thing you should do is pay off any credit card debt that you've accumulated.
Amen.
Credit card debt, even if you juggle it around very, very cleverly, is high interest debt, and it haunts you. You wanna get out of the habit very, very early in your professional life of being in credit card debt. Now, that's not to say you shouldn't use credit cards. You should use credit cards. They're fine to use, and then you pay off the balance every month. So that's the first thing. The second thing is another habit you should get into, and that's the habit of saving for your retirement. The whole idea of what a retirement is and could be is going to be very, very different 40 years from today than what it is right now. But we know it's not going to be free. And we know it's going to be more and more your responsibility as an individual to make sure that you have done what you need to do to be able to finance that retirement. And as our lifespans get longer and longer, that period of time during which you are essentially unemployed is going to get longer and longer.
So if you got a substantial amount of money, take a little money, have a party, pay off whatever credit cards you have and whatever's left.
Right.
Start saving some kind of
10%.
A savings plan.
Get in the habit of saving 10% gross of what you get. And if you get a windfall, save 10% of it. Okay, so once you start making money, once you start earning a salary, you ought to be saving. You know, participate in the 401k, participate in the 403b, or start your own IRA. Whatever it is, you should be no less than 10%. And if you start doing that and include raises that you get, 10% of every raise, you'll never miss the money because you've never seen it.
That's right.
And then the third thing is take a look at any other outstanding debt that you might have. You know, maybe it's college loans. Maybe it's just, you know, some other things that you've accumulated. You know, pay off that car loan. Pay off any other stuff that you have. Don't enter the job market in debt.
There you go.
So that was my advice, and, you know, she liked it enough that she printed something.
All right. Good advice. Very sensible advice on this Tuesday afternoon from Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Shelley, look at the market today. We have not settled above at the close the 15,000 mark ever on the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
Just the day is not over yet.
Yeah, the day is not over. We've still got about 34 minutes before the market closes. If it does close above that, it will be historic. But in terms of top of the line, this is the highest money-wise. You have to take inflation into account.
Yeah, that's a great point, Bill. If you adjust, I mean, we're going to close probably at 15,050 or something like that. But if you then go back and take a look at, and you have to pick a date arbitrarily, but let's say 2000, and add the inflation in the past 13 years, what you'll find is that this isn't a record. In fact, on the contrary, it may be 25% below a record. Now, that's kind of shocking.
But yeah, it is.
During the first 7 or 8 years of this century, we had normal inflation. So normal inflation is 3 or 4% a year. And if you compound that over the 7 or 8 years before we got into the Great Recession and interest rates and inflation essentially went to zero, you've got, almost 30% of inflation to take care of. Before, in real dollar terms, you can say we're at a record. Now, if you watched your portfolio go up 25% and then crash 40 and then come back again, 40, 45%, you're probably pretty happy.
Mm-hmm.
But in real terms, you have to think about the market as being your vehicle for doing two things: growing your portfolio so that you can, in fact, retire, but also keeping you ahead of inflation. And, if in recent history, now the last 4 years, 5 years, inflation has been very low, but historically inflation is north of 3%, and we've had times during our history, and Bill, I'm sure you can remember this, when inflation was in double digits.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And, getting a 12% mortgage was
the days of the gas, long gas lines, as I recall, and during the Carter administration there in the 70s.
It started out in the Nixon administration, and we went through that period of guns and butter and not really knowing. In fact, Nixon actually applied price and wage controls.
That's true.
In 73, I think, yeah, it was, 72, yeah. 73, to try to control inflation. So inflation is always this gray cloud looming out there, and investments have to keep ahead of it first, and then grow on top of that.
Quickly running out of time, Shelley Fishman, but we are up over 14% on the year. Your prediction was 12 to 14 on the year, so we're doing very well there.
Erring in the right direction.
Whether we sustain it, we shall see.
Right.
Shelley Fishman, best place to reach you?
On buckmastershow.com.
We appreciate it, Shelley. That is the best way to link to Shelley Fishman. Shelley, and have a good day.
You too, Bill.
Okay.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. Investment and insurance products are not NCUA insured, not credit union guaranteed, and may lose value.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama says military personnel who engage in sexual assault are betraying the uniform they're wearing. He says he's directed Defense Secretary Hagel to do more to stop such assaults in the military. When it comes to the civil war in Syria, the president says there are no easy answers. The administration has been seeking more evidence about claims that the Syrian government has used chemical weapons against its own people. Officials in Cleveland say they have no record of anyone calling about criminal activity at the house where three missing women were found alive yesterday, but two neighbors say that police had been called twice in recent years to investigate suspicious activity at the house. On Wall Street, looks like the Dow's on track to close above 15,000. Right now, it's up 82 points. The NASDAQ ahead, 3. More details at srnnews.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Row. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com. Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at BearMountainLodge.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday edition. Jim DeGroote is with me now in studio. Jim is Director of Transportation Services for the Regional Transportation Authority. If you have a question or comment about the RTA, Jim is always very amenable to hearing from the Buckmaster Show listeners. Our live line number is 790-2040, 790-2040. Jim, how are you?
Well, thanks, Bill.
Well, congratulations. 7-year anniversary next week. It was May 16th, 2006 that Pima County voters approved a 20-year regional transportation plan. And I can't believe it. So we're about a third of the way there.
A little over the way. Yeah.
And characterize, give us the big picture of what you feel are some of the high points of what's been accomplished with the plan so far.
Well, I think some things that are worth noting. We started out with a heavy focus on safety projects. As you might well imagine, it takes a few years to get projects designed. A large part of the plan was in roadway projects. The kinds of things that we started out with were projects that we could deliver quickly. A lot of that it was in the way of intersection projects. I think we've completed now 123 intersection improvements around the region. It seems like an enormous number.
It does.
When you look at where, you know, we've got a big community.
Yeah.
A lot of intersections.
Is that like
out
bus
there.
Pullouts, too?
No. Well, yeah. Bus pullouts are another category. I think we've got 58 of them done. It really adds up in a hurry. And, you know, if you're just operating in a, you know, kind of a local area of town, you may not see or get a sense of just how many are distributed throughout the region.
And so we've had the safety issues, but right. What would you say kind of some of the marquee roadway projects, Jim?
Well, certainly if you're in the northwest part of the region, you've seen an awful lot of work recently. Started out with the work over on the Twin Peaks Interchange, which really opened up some parts of Marana, namely the Continental Ranch area. When I worked for the town of Marana in a previous life, we used to refer to Continental Ranch as the world's largest cul-de-sac because you know, you had the only way to get in and out of that area was by way of Cortero Road and Silver Bell. That is now very well served with access, and then that access was continued on up into the Dove Mountain area. So that's made a big impact on movement in the Marana area. As you move closer into town, improvements on La Cholla, new bridge over the Rialto, and widened La Cholla out to 6 lanes to match up with what the county had done over by the Foothills Mall. La Cañada, still under construction on the south end, but the north piece from Ina to the town of Oro Valley. And that was completed a little over a year ago. McGee, the first two phases of that will finish up in the next couple of weeks.
And you have the bidding process going on Oracle?
Yeah, the next phase of that is to go from La Cañada to Oracle, and I believe that'll come out later this summer. So we'll see the construction then move to the east. And ultimately, with Pima County getting ready to do a project further to the west, between Thornydale and Camino del Oeste, we'll end up with a continuous four-lane roadway across the northwest there from east to west.
I have a question. Jim, you're going to have to slip on your headset question. Jim is with us, Jim Kelly, I believe, on the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Jim. You're with another Jim, Jim DeGroote.
Hi, Jim.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Listen, Jim, I've looked at the city's stuff, and I've looked at the RGA stuff and the county stuff, and I'm still seeing some forgotten roadways and commerce traffic, and that is the Benson Highway from Irvington to Valencia, Palo Verde from Valencia all the way to Ajo, and Country Club from Valencia to Ajo. Why are those being ignored? Those are main thoroughfares that our visitors see the minute they come into town.
Yeah, you know, the one thing about that, Jim, you're absolutely right. We don't have much in the plan for those projects. You know, the RTA plan was really focused on widening for capacity, and those particular roadways weren't identified as needing capacity upgrades. That's not to say that there aren't some absolute needs to improve those corridors, certainly from the standpoint of landscaping and street lighting. I mean, that area is our gateway into town from the airport, and that's something that I know other folks within Pima Association of Governments, governments have been working on with beautification projects, and certainly I know that the street lighting and pavement maintenance issues have been a focus of the city of Tucson, certainly needs to be more focused on.
Yeah, and I drive in that way to the station, Jim, every day on Palo Verde. Palo Verde, and that area by the Veterans Memorial Overpass. And I know this isn't an RTA issue, but perhaps someone from the city is listening to me right now, because if they take a look, the median and the area right there under the overpass with shopping carts, there's garbage all over the place, and that is a major gateway coming into the community. It really looks bad.
This is one of my interests here, is that we have four different government entities, Pima Association of Governments, City of Tucson, Pima County, and the RTA, that all have an interest in these gateways. And why is there not more concentration on improving these gateways? Both the pavement, the surfaces aren't real good there, as well as the beautification. Yeah. And why can't we make it a project for the RTA?
Well, you know, in terms of the RTA, what we've got is a fixed, within the ballot, we had committed to very specific projects, so we can't really deviate from that. But I can tell you that there is a great deal of interest in trying to do more with both pavement maintenance and with maintenance in general around the region. It's just a matter of dollars and cents and not having those dollars.
All right. We're with Jim DeGroote of the RTA, 790-2040. Rose, I think this is a good place to take a break with Jim, because I want to touch on what's going on with the modern streetcar when we come back, as the Buckmaster Show for a Tuesday continues. Please give your listen to these people who support the Buckmaster Show and give them their support, please. Thank you. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Jim DeGroote is with me in studio. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. But before we go back to the live line, Jim, I want to talk a little bit about, in the original plan, the 20-year plan for the RTA that the voters approved, they approved a modern streetcar, and that's the reason why we have this construction going on now.
That's absolutely correct. And that, coupled with the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act Tiger Grant, which I think brought about $63 million to the project. If it were not for that, we wouldn't be looking at the project going on right now. RTA is contributing about $75 million to the capital on that project. And then another $12 million, I think, over the remaining life of the plan for operating expenses.
Track work is almost completed, right?
That's correct. The end of the summer, we should be absolutely finished with the road closures associated with that with that work.
The cars, the eight cars that eventually will be coming to Tucson, are made in America, in Portland, Oregon. There have been some delays up there. The city just yesterday was debating about whether or not it's time now to assess penalties for the late streetcars. Talk just a bit about the why there are these costs. Why are the costs of oversight so high on these streetcars?
Well, you know, when you think about it, first of all, these are the first streetcar vehicles that have been manufactured in the United States for over 60 years. They are not simple vehicles. And when you consider all of the safety aspects that need to be built into a contemporary streetcar, the technology. I mean, they need to be tracked. They need to be – I mean, there's a lot of automation, things that you don't even think about. The fact that for the Americans with Disabilities Act, we have to have bridge plates that extend out from the vehicle when the doors open so that somebody in a wheelchair can access it. So they're very complicated vehicles. We're very fortunate, frankly, that the city of Portland is having their vehicles constructed in the ahead of ours. They're actually the prototypes, if you will, and they have had some fit and finish issues. From all reports we're getting, the systems themselves are operating very reliably and well, but there have been some delays in the manufacturing process. And as they build their vehicles and they find ways to improve upon them, they incorporate it into the line as they're building the following vehicle. So this is a bit of a work in progress. And we need to have, because of that, we need to have very good representation out there watching what's going on, making sure that there are no shortcuts taken and that we're getting what we're paid for.
All right. Jim DeGroote is with us from the RTA, and I don't want to keep some of these callers on hold for a long time. Josh has been waiting quite a while. We're going to leave the streetcar for a few moments and talk a little bit about the Broadway widening. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Will it stay what the voters voted for, or is Broadway widening going to get changed?
Well, at this point in time, you know, what we've got is a citizens task force that's looking at all of the information surrounding the project. You know, in the plan, it called for a six travel lanes, a median, two dedicated bus lanes, and there are some. And we certainly can't forget the sidewalks and bike lanes as well, which are real key to the community as well, and. You know, there are some in the community that are afraid that that's more than what is needed. There are some questions about traffic forecasts. And in fact, if you go back and look at the forecasts that were done in 1987-88 when the plan was originally conceived, we haven't seen those numbers in terms of traffic. I'd add that we also thought that the community would be much larger than it is now and that there'd be a lot more development in the downtown area to drive some of that traffic.
A fine line because the voters approved a particular program. If you change the program, you're going to have people who voted for the RTA program saying, well, that's not what I wanted.
Right. No, you're absolutely correct. And what's more is we may not have seen some of this growth. That doesn't mean that we won't still see it. And we're finally seeing our downtown blossom. It's in part due to some of the investments that we're making. I mean, certainly we've heard from the development community that the modern streetcar is contributing to that.
Shelton will be up next with us now on the Buckmaster Show, and we're going to go back now to talk about the streetcar. And I think Shelton's question is about expanding the streetcar eventually west of I-10. Is that correct, Shelton?
Yes, Bill. Which would to bring in also there's a proposal to bring build a stadium, an indoor stadium, east of I-10. Promoted by a well-known sports promoter in Tucson. Can you comment on that?
Sheldon, thank you very much. Expanding the streetcar, I guess that's going to have to wait till we finally get it running.
I think we're going to focus right now on delivering what we've committed to. But that said, we do need to look at next steps. And to your point about expanding to the west, Sheldon is right. There is going to be some expansion to the west. In fact, there is already in place completed a bridge over the Santa Cruz River along the Cushing Street alignment. They're installing tracks within that bridge, and the tracks themselves will extend on up to Congress Street over near the El Rio Health Center. So that vacant area, the kind of the origins of Tucson area, is going to be well served by the streetcar. In fact, that'll anchor the west end of it.
Jim DeGroote is with us. We're talking about the RTA as it comes up on its 7th anniversary next week. And I want to talk about terms of – have most of the projects, Jim, come in on time and on money?
Yeah, actually, we've been real pleased with few exceptions. We've actually seen most of the projects coming in under what we estimated them to cost. Bid day has been a real good day for us. In fact, I think if you look at the bids from 2009 to present, the bids came in, I think, an average of a little over 20% under the engineer's estimate on bid day. So,
well, we got lucky, too, because
lucky.
When this program was approved in 2006, you had the economic fallout in the United States, and suddenly folks needed to work, and they were going to bid a lot lower than they probably would have before the downturn.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, we definitely benefited from the construction industry
Downturn, yeah.
Focusing or, sharpening their pencils. To some extent, I think they probably cannibalized themselves a little bit.
Projects in the work that we should look for. We've got Grant Road, right?
Yeah. In fact,
that's
we've got
– big one.
If you look at what we might be doing in 3 to 4 years or over the next 3 to 4 years, we've got the next phase of Grant Road. As you know, we're under construction at the Oracle Road intersection. Well, they're in design right now on the piece from Stone to Park. The Downtown Links project, which currently it's under construction on St. Mary's. Well, that will be extended on up to tie into the end of the Barraza Aviation Highway that's currently ends at Broadway Boulevard. Houghton Road, we're going to be looking at doing a phase, widening it to 6 lanes between 22nd and Broadway. And Broadway intersection's about ready to start. That should be in the next few months. Silver Bell Road, Tangerine Road, I think looking at widening that from the existing 2 lanes to 4 lanes between La Cañada Drive and Dove Mountain. And then we've got some interchanges. We have the Ina Road interchange, which right now is very heavily congested. They'll be reversing it, much like they're doing with Prince right now, where you have the cross street going over the freeway and also over the railroad tracks with that project. Ruth Roth, yeah. I mean, we've got a lot on tap ahead of us.
Okay, another caller on the Buckmaster Show. Dan is with us, and he has a question for Jim DeGroote about Aviation Parkway and the freeway. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, well, that's just about it. When I come into town on Aviation, then try to get to the freeway. I mean, it's always been such a mess. What's going to be the rapid route for that nice Aviation Parkway that we have if we want to get to the freeway? What is going to be the route?
Okay, well, thanks, Dan.
That's a great question. It's one of those projects that's in the offing, currently in design, and basically extending along the east side of the railroad tracks down to a new intersection with 6th Street. 6th Street. Then 6th Street will be widened towards the interstate, will actually depart from its current alignment. It'll swing a little bit to the north to stay away from the warehouses and from the Stone Avenue underpass, and it'll go under the railroad tracks. So what is now a big source of delay at the railroad is no longer going to be a delay for folks on 6th. And as it turns into St. Mary's and approaches the St. Mary's interchange, you'll be able to get on the frontage roads system at that point in time and then access the interstate. That'll make a big difference to movement in and around the downtown area. I think it'll take some burden off of the streets that are going through downtown, and it'll certainly allow us to see more use of aviation, which Frankly, I enjoy coming to your show here from downtown on Aviation.
Easy, actually, quite easy. Yeah, folks coming to the program, to the Buckmaster Show from downtown, just get on Aviation, and they are here at the KVOI studios in Palo Verde in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So it is really, really nice. 30 seconds to go here with our interview with Jim DeGruy. Jim, so overall, pretty much everything's on track. We're more than a third through the program, and we've got some really big projects to come.
Yeah, we've got big projects to come. You know, we do have some other things that we're going to be confronting. We certainly have not yet, you know, we're coming out of an economic recession, and you know, that has meant revenues have been disappointing until now, and we're hoping to see see that rebound. We will be looking at talking about bonding with the RTA board again. We had issued $150 million worth of bonds, and we'll be needing to talk about that again to fund those very important projects.
Jim DeGruy, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Bill. Pleasure.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, which is hosting the 18th annual Silver City Blues Festival Memorial Day weekend. This is a big event for them over there. And if you love the blues, May 24th, 25th, and 26th, in Silver City, which is just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Pretty easy drive over to Silver. Plenty of wonderful places to stay, including Agave Ridge Retreat, Cottage of Whispering Canyon. Please check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org. All of our in-studio guests on the Buckmaster Show are presented with a bottle of Culligan water. Jim DeGruy just had one in front of him. He enjoyed it, and I've yet to have anyone say they don't like Culligan water. They just like it, and why wouldn't they? It simply tastes better. John C. Scott, 3 to 5 this afternoon. Then Wake Up Tucson with Dr. Kevin Lehman and State Representative Ethan Orr from 6 to 8 tomorrow. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.